Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the third and final hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing this morning again.
Flying by, baby. It's Johnny B.
That's it. Rolling on, my friend. Rolling on.
Rolling on.
All right. Well, let's roll back to old Captain Cliff Webb, see what we can get stirred up again here. I love talking fishing with this guy. He's caught a couple. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
All right, Mick, I'm sitting here waiting. My youngest son, Cody, came down from Houston to fish with me today. I got my annual fishing trip. He comes down like once a year. He just works all the time. You know, I can't get him to stop working. But he's coming down, so I'm excited. We're going to go out about the crack of 10 today when it warms up.
Crack of 10? There you go.
Crack of 10, you know, kind of fish that. We're just going to go drift and get a couple of that whole cornmeal. I need a little fried fish. It's been a long time since that boy had the fried fish, so I'm going to catch some of those 17, 18 inches and see if they'll hold some cornmeal.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, buddy. I love speckled trout, and those Laguna Madre trout are delicious. I can't believe, you know, and all the fish we caught in 2 days, we only killed four fish, you know, that we gill hooked.
I just hate
throwing a dead fish back.
And sometimes, you know, they were hitting them. That one day, they were eating hard, and they get that thing down the gill plate and rip it, and they do it all that head shaking. And when you got that gill ripped away like that, you hope he's a keeper.
They're done.
He's not going to make it.
Not going to make it.
We didn't kill any big ones, though, did we? I mean, most
no,
of
we
killed were, you know, under 20 inches. That was pretty good. You know, of course, those redfish don't count. I appreciate you guys taking those out of there.
No, I wouldn't. I wasn't. Well, I'd thrown three back before David said, hey, my brother wants a couple. I said, well, hey, just say when, buddy. I'll string them up here. So,
yeah, those are perfect, those small eating ones like that.
Yeah, those are
perfect
slots.
And, you know, he made
slots.
I guess it was Mark made that. I didn't realize that when the black and redfish came out that there was a short. They almost wiped the redfish out. That dish was so popular that in Louisiana that they were
the black and redfish that Chef Prudhomme came up with that recipe. And, buddy, it was a craze. It was, it was a hot item.
That's amazing because the only thing about that, it really smokes the house up, buddy. You better do it outside.
That's an outdoor cooking scheme right there, my friend.
Outdoor cooking scheme right there, man. But, you know, there's it's funny because I love redfish, the small ones. I like those 21s, 23s, Mickey. They're by far the best.
No doubt.
And I know you guys like them on a half shell, but another way that the guys in Louisiana taught me to do, they put them in those fish baskets, you know, that squeeze the fish like you put a fillet in there.
Yeah,
they put that fillet in there, and they smear that. Ranch dressing, and lemon on it, and they shear it real fast on that grill. I'll tell you what, that's a great dish too. That's kind of been real popular here. That's pretty daggum good stuff right there. But I'm like you, baby. That fried speckled trout, a little mustard on them, a little cornmeal, salt and pepper with a real hot grease, hard to beat.
What I do is I'll just take them and. I'll cut them in my chunks, you know, frying size chunks, the fillet itself. Go over it again, make sure there's no bones in it, and cut it up. and I'll mix me up a jar. I'll take some French's hot dog mustard, squirt about an inch or so in the bottom of that, then I'll dump me about an inch or so of Louisiana hot sauce, and then dilute it with water, put the lid on it, shake it up real good, get it diluted just right, and after my fish are cut up in a Tupperware dish, and I pour that all over them and toss them around in that and let them marinate in there for about 30 minutes, and then take them out and put them in my cornmeal and hit them with that grease at 350. Hey, slap your mama. Don't get
I
any
saw
better.
You had the temperature on the grease. That's the trick, too. You know, all my rods would take a kitchen match. And of course, it's back when they stick it in that grease.
That's before we had thermometers. Yeah, that's what my dad used to do. If that grease will strike at kitchen match, it's right.
Yep. It's right.
That's old school,
man. Yeah, that's funny. That's old school there, isn't it, buddy?
Yeah, it is.
That was some good fish. But I'm glad you guys took a feedback because, you know, we're one of the last bases we don't have any murk or anything in our fish. We have really
I'm telling you, that's as pure as they get coming from the Laguna Madre down there. And I could tell the difference in the taste. No doubt.
Mm-hmm, they're good.
Way different than the
taste of
the fish
up here. Especially when you make ceviche with them, they have a really fresh taste with ceviche.
Yeah, they do.
But you know, there's a big tournament going on today, Mickey. There's going to be some big fish caught because what's happened now the last couple of days, like yesterday we canceled. It was just too much wind, too high barometer. I said, you know, we're wasting our time. You know,
yeah.
Barometer's on 31. Wind was 28, 29 all day, almost 30 in the morning. But today, I think when the pressure backs off of them, they're going to eat this afternoon and probably tomorrow pretty good.
Yeah, I think you're on. You're on to something. Not your first rodeo.
Any big fish been caught up by you that you've heard of up there, Mickey?
Man, there was David Brazier about 10, 12 days ago. He popped a big one on live bait in the popping cork. Blaine was telling me about it, a 9-2 or something.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Golly, that's huge.
Yeah.
How about Matagorda? I hear all these stories of Matagorda. Have you seen any tens come out of Matagorda?
Not lately. It's been a while, but I've seen some, you know, eights and nines. And it's just a matter of time, you know, when somebody hits with the weather right and everything, and it'll roll. They'll roll some more out of there.
Man, that's something. I'm waiting to hear something big from Matagorda because I'm hearing all these people catching these 8 and 9 pounders down there. That's really awesome.
I think Charlie the other day, he had one they released. It was like 28.5, and they released some other good ones like 26 and 27. But he had one guy lose one that was 30-plus right at the boat. So their shallow water fish is kind of hit and miss. The consistency, a lot of those fish are holding deep out there in like that 4 to 5 feet of water. Kind of like what we saw the other day when we moved, you know, we started out wading that morning. You moved us out deeper, and man, those fish they were thick out there.
And what happens in that area, they're always there through March, but we get the strong southeast winds and, you know, it gets rough out there and a little sanded up. And people down here, they don't fish a lot of the popping cork and gulps like they do in Matagorda, which they should. It's a great combination, you know, soft plastic under popping cork. But everybody here wants to free line them, you know, and drift the potholes. And so when it gets dirty and stuff out there, they go somewhere else. If they would just, you know, double drift anchor with 232 drift anchors and everybody put a spinning rod on a popping cork, they'd catch fish all the way through March. And some of them do it. But my guys, you know, they're not into that. They want to go somewhere else and get out behind a spoil island wave. Now, I don't blame them. You know, they want to stay up in that shallow water. But if you had to catch a limit of fish, I think you could out there in our Laguna Madre all through the spring with a cork and a plastic under it, because that's or a Mansfield Mauler. I remember when the Mansfield Mauler came out and how effective it was.
Oh, remember those days? Jeez.
Yeah. We were talking about old Bob Fustin, man.
Yeah, old Bob Fustin. Red Bandana Charters. Man, he come up with something with that Mansfield Mauler. That created an innovative craze that we have today with all these other kind of cork rigs and everything else people use with soft plastics under them.
Yeah, just like Paul Brown and the Corky, everybody starts something and somebody else copies it. It's amazing how something feeds off the one. Well, somebody invents something and it feeds off. Like my grandfather, you know, was a crabber there at Green Lake and for many years ago, and he went to the car washes and got those ringers from the car wash. You put the shimmy through and you wring the water out of them.
Uh-huh.
And he'd boil those crabs and take the horns off and pull them off and rinse all the guts out, stick them in that ringer, and wring the shell through one side, and the meat come out in your hand. And
right.
So you wouldn't have to pick them. And now they came out with a crab ringer. Well, I said, God, I wish you'd have patented that thing. That was, you know, was 50-something years ago, and they somebody else already had a patent on that.
I remember Doug Crawley used to do that on Trinity Bay. When he had shrimp, he'd keep all those big blue crabs, and he'd get in and pull the shell off like you're talking about and just put them through an old washing machine wringer, have that lump crab meat. Golly.
Yeah, man. And my aunt would mix it with the Hungry Jack pancake mix and make this giant crab patty. I mean big. And fry it and put it on a hamburger bun. You talk about good. A little tartar sauce.
Now, I'll tell you what. I'm into eating and having good stuff, but I've never had a crab cake like that. That's got to be wonderful.
It's unbelievable, man, with some fresh onion in it, a big old thick, about 2 inches thick. And,
oh, Lord.
You know, we complained about, man, I wish we get some hamburger meat. We got to eat crab again. It's shrimp. No,
oh,
man.
Oh, Lord.
You know, you always want what you can't have. It's true. They give you, you know, they gave you steak every day. You want a hamburger. It's just human nature.
That's true.
You always want what you can't have, man.
Boy, that was sure a pleasure to come finally get to fish with Mr. Cliff Webb. That was.
Well, I feel the same way about you, Mick. And you brought such a great crew. And then you bring me another guy. Hey, that day the three of us drifted, there wasn't a lot behind us. I felt sorry for the boat behind us.
No, if you pull in back there, there's not going to be much left there, bud. You might want to slide over a little bit.
Oh, man, that's
like a gill net
right
going across those grass beds and potholes, buddy. We didn't miss many.
No, we didn't miss any. I mean, when you catch 10 or 15 piggy perch on your lead head, you're set the hook quick.
Yeah, you are. You're on top of your game when you can set the hook in piggies.
Yeah. But how about that hard head? We caught a hard head in February on a plastic.
I'm telling
that doesn't
you
normally happen.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a sure sign of spring right there, buddy.
Hell, I wish you'd hurry up and get here full swing. We got another good cold snap coming next week.
Yeah. That's all right. We'll catch some more pigs next week. I got three trips next week. I think they're going to be good, man.
Well, I enjoyed the heck out of it. We'll have to do it again. And, man, it was nice meeting your wife. She is so sweet. And you're a lucky man to have you a good woman like that.
Well, that's my best trophy ever was her. You know,
you got
together,
that right. Hey, you can throw all them old nasty big trout out the window.
Yeah,
you better hang on to her, bud.
I'm not stupid. Right, man.
I know you're not. You might be dumb, but you ain't stupid.
Yeah, I ain't stupid.
That's right.
I'm stupid, man. There's a difference, you know.
And it was nice to talk with Joey Fair a while. He's a really nice guy, too, man.
Oh, man. Yeah,
you got a good bunch of guys down there running with you, man. Mm-hmm. That's a good bunch.
I do. It's easy, real, real easy down here. Real, I'm blessed. I really am, man.
Yeah,
come back, Mickey. Man, I'd love to have you again. It was just a blast having you.
You got that right. Well,
one unbelievable fisherman, dude. You're
James
amazing.
And I, we're gonna catch a window here. We're going to get with you and get you up here with us and come hang out with us a few days. We're just going to go fishing, man.
Oh, I'm definitely going to do that. That's for sure. I'll see you. Next time I see you, I'll be in your water.
There you go, buddy. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come down and fish with you, give them out a number, Cliff.
All right, Mickey, I'm at area code 361-949-0707. And, man, you got a great listening crew down here. There's a lot of people in Corpus Christi listening to the Outdoor
Show. I couldn't believe all the people that listen to this old mess up here, man.
You got a great following. Hey, well, thanks, Mickey.
Hey, you got it. And we'll do it again, Cliff. Thanks for all you did for us, man. You took really good care of us. It was a lot of fun.
My pleasure. Looking to it for a long time, man. Hey, thanks, Mickey. All right, man.
Thank you, Cliff. See you, buddy. All right, take care. All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb down in
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Corpus Christi. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 521 in the Bayou City on this Saturday morning. Weather looks better. I wish everybody the best out there on the water today. All right, let's go up to the Big Sam. Talk to our good friend, Will Kirkpatrick. Will, good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on, bud?
Well, I have a question for you.
Okay.
One of the guys in school, he caught just part of your program, and he wanted to know if there was a 14-pounder caught on Conroe.
Well, we were talking about that earlier, and Richard thinks it may be from last year. I know there was an 11 caught. There was an 11-pounder caught up there this past week, but the 14, I haven't confirmed that yet. 14-23 or something like that, but I do know there was a 15-plus caught on Rayburn. That did happen.
Okay.
And that tournament last weekend, a guy won that with it was a one-day deal, that FLW, BFL tournament. It was Anthony Sharp caught a 40-pound sack of bass, five bass. He had an 11-pounder and a 10-pounder. And second place was 19 pounds. He landed on them, looks like to me. That was something else, man.
Well, you know, David Horton did that one year. He had 30 minutes before the weigh-in, he had like 12 or 13 pounds.
Oh.
And then he caught two nines and an eight.
Wow.
In about 30 minutes off the same point. You know, that's probably what this guy did. He probably caught him in the same place.
Yeah, I mean, he had I think his smallest fish was a 7-pounder. I mean, I saw the picture of the five fish. What a beautiful sack of fish. I mean, that's catch of a lifetime, man. He landed on it.
Oh, yeah.
That's called pulling the rabbit out of the hat right there, buddy.
Mickey, Blaine Thorpe used to own, him and his wife owned marina I fished out on the St. John's River in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And it was about a half mile from, I'm trying to think of the name of the creek. They dammed it up, and it's a reservoir now. Ocklawaha River.
You're right.
And Blaine and I went out. And, you know, I've got a rowboat, 13-foot with oars on it, an 18-horse motor, and we went up the Ocklawaha about 2 miles. And then drifted back, and he was fishing shiners probably 6 inches, 7 inches long, and fishing nothing but the outflow of these little oxbow lakes.
Right.
I had the littlest fish. We had two limits, which was 8 fish limit. I had the littlest fish. It was 6 pounds. He had one weighed 17 pounds and 1 ounce.
Wow.
Yeah, he had four over 10 pounds.
My goodness.
Fishing shiners, yeah. There's an art to fishing shiners, Mickey, that people just think, well, all you do, you know, you just throw it out there. No.
Yeah.
You know, it's like fishing nothing, but that's all he fished was outflows where the water was coming out, and he fished on the outside edge where it was a little eddy there. And
right.
He'd lob that shiner up in there. Yeah, he wanted me to net. You've never seen it, but I got a big net from when I used to fish for muskies. And I had that thing, and I didn't even want to net that fish. I didn't want anything to do with it, because if I touched that fish and he'd lose it, I had visions of him drowning me right there.
Taking you over the side.
Yeah. But the lake's in good shape. You know, it's just about pool.
What I figured.
And, you know, it's holding in the low 50s. So, you know, what we talked about 2 months ago, you know, they're not going to spawn until, you know, those two fish that guy had, you know, their bellies got to be just all pooched out, look like us.
Yeah, they were healthy looking fish, I can tell you that.
Well, we got to find out next week. You know, my boat's sitting over there dying to get put back in the water.
She's screaming at you.
It's going to be prime time. You know, anybody that wants to get into the big fish time right now is when to do it. We had back in 98 when they caught those, I'm never six over 13 pounds out of Rayburn.
Right.
We had two fall classes. You know, they caught them actually right at the spawn. And we had so many, we filled up one class and had, I think it was nine in the other class. And all people got to do is hear about catching big fish and they want to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, this guy will probably, wherever he would, I would say, Mickey, he's probably fishing a point next to a drain. And he sits there on that one place probably most of the day.
Uh-huh.
And if you want big fish, you know, now's the time of year. They go into what's called a staging area right before they go into spawn. And there may be, you know, it's usually stumps because they don't have standing trees anymore, but it's usually stumps. And these fish will be right before, right on the trail going into where they're going to spawn. And they're going to lay there until she decides it's time to go do her thing, and then she'll move in. They move in. Junior used to call when they were on 6 days a week. Starting in February, he would call every morning. And at some time, you're going to have 3 nights when it didn't get down below 50, and that's when the fish made their first big move. And we've already had that, so. And every time it warms up a little bit, they'll move back in, and then we'll have what we had this week. They had the cold front move in. They move back out, but they never move back out as far. I say never. They haven't to date moved back out as far as they originally were. They just keep moving in a little farther, a little farther, yeah. A little farther. And sometimes they'll move in 4 or 5 times until it gets right, and then they come in and do their thing. But this is prime time for big fish.
Yeah.
So, somebody mentioned last night they had heard something. I think it was the same guy I heard on. Were you talking to Tex Bowden or something?
Yeah, I was talking to Tex yesterday, and we were talking about that.
Okay, that's what he was talking about. So I'll tell him, no, you haven't verified a 15, but you had five fish weighed 40 pounds. That's big string of fish.
Yeah, it is. That's a sack. That's a real sack of bass. Five fish.
Yeah, wonder how many of them made it. They were talking about we.
Hope all of them did, but.
Yeah. We're talking to a game warden. He's here. He's some guys that living down on Hempstead. And they came up here. They're having trouble catching fish on Hempstead. They live down there. And they said, you know, 5-6 years ago, they were tearing big fish up.
Oh, they had a run going down there 5 or 6 right. years ago, buddy.
They said, now you catch a 7-pounder, you got a big fish.
Well, it all cycles. They got to wait for a new age class fish to grow up and get giant again.
Yep.
Same thing
yep.
we do here on saltwater.
So, but they're doing good. We got Muffin Mike is here. He was going over. He was going to prove that Powell Park has got the biscuit and gravy plate. He's going to prove that he can eat a whole plate. And I said, you can't do it, Michael. Because
well,
you get
we'll
a whole,
see.
You get a full order, and it covers a plate up.
A biscuits and gravy?
Biscuits and gravy, yeah.
Breakfast of champions.
Two biscuits split in half, covered with sausage gravy.
That'll work.
Yeah, you and I could sit there and eat off the
we
same
we could split
plate.
One of those, huh? All right, Will. Well,
the
hey,
lake,
man.
Lake's in good shape, and, you know, obviously the fish are biting.
All right, well, tell old Mike hello for me. And
I'll do it.
Y'all do it up, and I'll talk to you later in the week, buddy.
Okay.
Throw him out
Thank
a number.
You. 409-584-3177, and we got slots left for next week's big bass.
Okay.
All we got to do is give Vicki a call. I'll be gone, but she's here.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks, Vicki.
Will.
Talk to you later.
See you, man. Later.
Bye.
All right, that's Will Kirkpatrick up on the Big Sam.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 6:35 here in the Bayou City on a Saturday morning. Looks like it may be fishable today. Let's check in with Captain Steve Hillman and see what he's going to fish about today. Steve, what's up?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
It may be fishable. It may be fishable, but I'm not fishing.
You're
I'm getting
not
ready to
fishing.
Feed pigs. No.
Feeding pigs, slopping the hogs, yeah. Baby.
No, I'm not going today. I'd planned to take off today anyway because I was supposed to have a full week last week. Of course, we lost yesterday. We lost Thursday. And then starting back Monday, I got every day. So trying to get some, do a little rat killing around the house. I'm kind of behind on a few things. So
well,
that's it. But it is nice.
That way.
It looks nice out here.
Yeah, it's really nice compared to the last couple of days. Jeez.
Yeah.
You know?
Doesn't look like it's blowing. Not here anyway.
Not bad. It's doable.
Yeah. Well, I get some stuff done this morning. I might run out there later this afternoon.
A little
maybe.
Afternoon pop out. Nothing wrong with
yeah.
that. I think that's what yep. Cliff's going to do. His son came in to fish with him, and they're going to pop out about 10 o'clock.
Sounds like a plan. I don't think we lost any water from this front, did we? It's pretty much stayed northeast. The wind did, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we're good. It's kind of variable up and down the coast. Most directions are northeast, but, you know, you got a little north in places. But
yeah. But it never went northwest, I don't think, or even
no.
due north, I don't think.
No.
But no, it ought to help our bike. It's supposed to stay kind of chilly for the whole week for the most part.
Yeah, next week we got another one coming in. It's going to keep us cold again. And
yeah, I think Tuesday night or Wednesday.
Yeah.
But it ought to get these fish kind of congregated again because what I saw last week, at least in our bay system, is, you know, I think I told you we caught them in a totally different place Wednesday compared to Sunday. Those were the 2 days I fished Galveston Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And our pattern just it's starting to try to change a little bit, and I think that was because it was warming up. The water temperature was, God, man, it's like 17 degrees warmer than it was 3 weeks ago when we had that big front. These fish just kind of had their eyes crossed. But now down there in Matagorda, those fish to me, they really hadn't moved. I mean, they're kind of staying in the same place for whatever reason. We caught a few in some different areas, but they're kind of stationary. Still catching most of them in that, like, 3.7 to 4.2, 4.5 foot of water
right.
down there. And here, kind of about the same. We caught some fish shallower here on Wednesday. water temperature was 63 Wednesday here, and we caught most of our fish in, I don't know, a little over two foot of water to drop down about 4.5, I guess. So
yeah,
nothing's
pulling
been
a little tight. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing's been deep. Nothing's been deep anywhere I've been fishing. So I'm sure there's something deep somewhere, but not where I'm fishing. But this ought to stack them up a little bit, get us back in a more of a wintertime pattern, maybe get us throwing a few more plugs. But Jeff and I caught
Wednesday that front hits. They're calling for a low of 33 next Wednesday night, you know, for the Houston area, 36 on Friday. And then it's going to warm right back up. Sunday it's going to, you know, move back up into the 70s for next week, you know, Sunday and Monday, and we're actually the following week.
Right.
So maybe we'll be out of it. Maybe spring will finally settle, nestle on in, and we can get back to what we do the best.
Yeah, I don't mind this stuff here. This is not bad, as long as it's not screaming, blowing, and raining.
Right.
I'm tired of the rain. I'm tired of the soggy stuff. Ready for things to dry up a little bit.
Well, see, we're going to have a front Monday. It's going to come in sometime. And then we'll go back to east-southeast winds on Tuesday, and then Wednesday another front hits. So
yeah,
They're becoming quite frequent.
Yeah.
Almost every other day, it seems like.
Yeah, but I think it'd be good. I think it's going to help our bite. Not that our bite's been bad. It hasn't. But I think it'll just trigger it a little bit. We started catching more fish on plugs on Wednesday, too, ahead of that last front. Those fish were kind of staging up, getting ready for that little front we just had, for this front that we're in right now. And Jeff caught, I don't know, he caught five or six on a corky fat boy, and I caught three or four on a hot rod, and then caught a few on that double D. We didn't even throw them that much. We've been throwing worms, and we're kind of just piddling, throwing up on top of that reef. But they were smashing those twitch baits. They were hitting them a lot harder than they were the soft plastics. I think we'll see a lot more of that in the next 4 or 5 days.
I won't argue
maybe
with that. You know, it's
maybe
weird.
It's just,
you know, you're talking about, you know, hitting these harder baits and everything. You know, when I first started out fishing, you know, that was a deal, you know, hard baits, plugs, you know. We were
right.
Pluggers. We threw plugs, and then we got in the soft plastic era, and we're still in it now. But as I get older, the more, you know, the more excited I get when I catch them on hard baits, you know, on plugs. I mean, it's just
something about it, man.
It is. It's a mystique, you know, in trout fishing, though. The old plug, you know, throwing a plug at them.
Exactly. Well, it's not. It's just the way that it feels when they. And you always hear people talk about that corky thump. It's kind of a cliche, but it's true. It's when they hit a twitch bait, any kind of twitch bait. And especially those double D's and those Lelys and hot rods, all the Barboletta,
them, man.
Yeah, like Lowell's baits and all the Barboletta baits, those things, they hit them so hard. And I throw braid. I know you guys, you and James, I think you went back to mono a few years ago.
Yeah, we're still mono rats. Well, I got into the braid thing because when I was fishing redfish tournaments, I mean, you got to throw it in those. You got to have it.
Right.
But I'm a trout fisherman at heart. I'm blue blood trout fisherman.
Yeah, I didn't like braid. I tried it when it first came back on the scene. You know, back when I was growing up, and certainly I know obviously you remember this, a lot of people were throwing Dacron, remember?
Braided Dacron. I used to love it. It was about five different colors every 6 inches or whatever.
So then when mono came out, everybody thought they'd died and gone to heaven. And then you had decades of mono, and then all of a sudden, I guess about 18 or 20 years ago, maybe not quite that long, you had all these hybrid forms of Dacron that we call braid now, and people just lost their minds over it.
Well,
I
tell you, when it got popular, when I had my Troutmaster circuit going, Power Pro was sending braid to give away, and I had trouble giving it away to everybody. And Power Pro's the one that really brought it back strong, and, well, here we are. What was that back in Yeah, the 90s, you know, 90, was the late, 95 to 2000.
Yeah, your tournaments, I think, finished up around the late 90s. You might have had one in the early 2000s.
No, I had my last year was 2001, and then I sold it.
There you go. That's about what I thought.
Yeah. I went 96 through 2001, 6 years of
okay.
it.
Okay, yep. That's what I thought, somewhere in there. But so that's about right. It's about 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years
spot
ago.
Spot on,
but,
man.
But I fished mono forever and ever, and then about 4 years ago, I set the hook on a trout, and one of my customers standing beside me, he cast kind of sidearm like I do, and he cast sidearm sideways the same time I was setting a hook on this fish, and it broke my rod in half. His rod hit my rod. And the only other rod I had in the boat, under the gunnel there was a rod I had strung with braid, and I picked it up, started throwing it. Made a few adjustments, of course, and the rest is history. I haven't touched mono since, but I just got used to it, and it kind of grew on me a little bit once I figured everything out. You know, I've gone a little bit softer tip rod, got to back your drag off a little bit, and I put a real long fluorocarbon leader, real long 20-pound fluorocarbon leader, like 5-6 foot, to help give me that little cushion, that little stretch there at the end. But I don't know.
Well,
I've
get you a little sink too. You know, you get a little absorption
exactly.
there where you can get your bait down.
Yeah, but there are definitely adjustments that need to be made if you make the switch. But hey, man, to each his own. Whatever it takes, doesn't matter. Whatever it takes to catch them.
Just
but
fish.
I didn't have any problem feeling the bite with mine. I still don't. It's a matter of preference at this point. But
well, and,
anyway.
And, The braid era, that was a blessing for spinners, you know.
True.
I mean, think about the days we threw mono and had to supply spinning reels to customers, and oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, man, I don't think I might just have to turn down people that want to go fishing with me if they had to throw a spinner if all I had was mono to put on.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, it just, you know, it's still bad enough with braid, but, you know, we tried every game in the book trying to keep that line twist and everything out of the mono with the spinning rigs, and it was a nightmare.
No, it is. It
the
is.
Braid was the savior to that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus,
still even,
it helped them feel the bite better, too. I mean, you know, with a spinning rig, let's just be honest about it, you're not going to get near the feel and the touch with that particular reel as you are with a bait caster. Because
there's no doubt about it.
Straight down your rod, straight onto the spool, fitting right in the palm of your hand, and there's no better control or feel than that. None.
That's the biggest difference, I think, is with a bait caster. If you're holding, I don't want to say if you're holding it properly, but if you're holding it like 98% of bait caster fishermen hold it, you're holding that reel in your hand, just like you said, and that bite, you're in almost direct contact with that lure, with that bite, and you can
feel
everything, and especially if you're throwing braid. But with that spinner, like you said, it's hanging, that reel's hanging below the rod, and you're just not in as good a contact with the bite as you are with a bait caster. But that's, like you said, where that braid comes in, it just it helps keep these guys from missing so many fish.
Yeah, you know? It helps the sensitivity a lot.
Yeah, but and some people prefer spinners. Most of the people in our boat, you know, your boat, my boat, all of us, that when we get people throw spinners, I'd say over half of them is because they have less experience. But I have a handful of guys that fish with me. One of the new guys this past week.
Oh, they're gurus with that stuff. They're pros.
Jordan showed up. He had a Castaway Croaker smoker, a spinner, and then, the big green rod.
Yeah.
And then he had some kind of Shimano spinner on there, and I rigged it up for him and everything, and hey, he caught more than me and Jeff did. He smoked him with a worm. You know, I had another guy a couple years ago, young doctor guy from East Texas. He shows up, and we're standing there in the parking lot that morning, me and him and a couple other guys, and I looked down, and he knew a little bit, because he had good Waterloo spinner rods, but he had, you know, he had spinners, and I looked at the spinners, I looked at him, and he said, don't judge me. He said, don't judge me yet. And we get out there, and he smoked them, man. So some people, it's just a matter of preference. It's not because it's lack of experience, you know. Excuse me.
A lot of those Florida guys I fished with during the redfish tournaments back in the day, they're all spinners, man. They, you know, they
right.
grew up with them. That's all they've ever fished. They'd make fun
yeah.
of us for throwing bait casters.
Right. No, I went. We went and visited some friends in the Keys about 4 or 5 years ago, and this guy Mike, he let me take his little boat out in the mangroves and little canals. And of course, I didn't fly over there with my fishing rods or anything, so I had to use his gear. And I see a couple of small tarpon up under the mangroves, and the only thing he had in that little skiff was a spin cast reel that looked like it'd be better suited for, I don't know, bull reds or jackfish or something, mounted on a telephone pole with like 8-pound mono, I couldn't cast it. I couldn't reach his tarp, and I was frustrated. But he didn't have his stuff rigged up right. I don't even know why he had a damn rod and reel in the boat, to be honest. But
man,
yeah, all those folks over
handles.
In Florida. Yeah, it seems like most of the guys in Florida throw spinners for sure. For sure.
How many times do you have guys show up with you and they get in a boat and they hand you their rod they're going to fish with that day? And I said, are you for real? What do you mean, Captain? I said, this is what you're going to throw lures with all day? Oh, yeah, I do it all the time. I said, well, if I did, I would have biceps like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You're right.
I mean, his one rod and reel weighed more than the 5 I had in the boat combined.
I know.
I go, man, you're just not going to be able to do this. Oh, you watch. And about 2 hours into the fishing trip, I said, you sure you don't want to try one of mine there, bud?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's try that. And then immediately they'll start catching fish. I mean, people don't realize how critical it is to have, you know, optimum gear, you know, the right stuff. I mean, it makes
it's
a huge
game changer.
Difference. It is
a game changer. Especially in our day and age where, not to sound like, I mean, we got plenty of fish, but I can remember growing up, we had the old ugly sticks, and then we got the Falcon rods, and we went to All-Stars, and then we thought
St. Croix and
St. Croix. And, of course, the reels that at least I started out on, I never was a spinner guy. Dad just raised me throwing a bait caster, the old Abu Garcia, the 5000Cs, 5500, all those. And then, man, we went to those. What was the first little low-profile reel, a little Bantam or something? What was that?
No, Daiwa had a Procaster. They had a PMA 10 and a PMA 15, and Shimano came out with the Bantam mags and all that.
Yeah, but we could catch. We had a ton of fish back then. I mean, I'm not going to say it didn't matter, but nowadays you want to have state-of-the-art gear. And you don't have to break the bank either, really, like a lot of people think.
No.
You know, you can get a pretty darn good rod for $150 to $180 bucks, and you can get a real good deal I've seen yet
is that Skeleton Nano for $129. It's like a premium rod, and then you throw you a good $200 reel on there, and you really got something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if a guy will pay $1,000 for a driver to put in his golf bag, he'll pay $200-$400 for a rod and reel.
Oh, yeah. No, it cracks me up. I see a guy driving up in a $90,000 Mercedes. He gets out, and he's got a broom handle with a freaking coffee grinder on it. You know,
got him a combo rig for $59.95. Exactly.
Anyway, now it would be nice to be out there today, man. It's beautiful. I'm sitting here watching these gray squirrels run down the fence. We got a squirrel feeder out here. We got gray squirrels and fox squirrels. Seeing more and more of those little gray squirrels out here.
Yeah, the cat squirrels are really making a comeback in my area too. You know,
they must be.
Still got plenty of foxes, but the cat squirrels are multiplying way faster.
Yeah.
Corn thieves.
Yep. I'm gonna feed these pigs, man. I'm gonna get. They're back there squealing. I don't know if you can hear them. They're going crazy. They know I'm going
to
be fed by
now. Yeah, they want Daddy to come take care of them.
They about run me over when I get back.
I never figured you to be a hog farmer.
Well,
like
I never
Clint Eastwood. Remember in Unforgiven, he was a hog farmer. William Money.
Killer of women and children. I remember that, yeah.
All right,
I never thought Brooke would show them, so but somebody's got to feed
them. Yeah, but she's doing good. She's making that college money, brother.
She is, man. She is. So.
And she did commit to, what, A&M Galveston?
A&M Galveston, yep.
That a girl. Yep. Keep it local. All right, yeah. Man. Well, Steve, if somebody wants to call you about going fishing, give them a number, bro.
All right, man, 409-256-7937.
All right, man.
Holler at me or shoot me a text or whatever.
We're going to do it. All right, Steve. Thanks for the conversation. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, later, man. Have a great day. All right, folks. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back bright and early on Open Line Fun Sunday tomorrow right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.